Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so let's get into James. All right, so we're making progress in our study. All right, so now we're going to continue in this idea of our tongue. All right, taming our tongue. And we're going to kind of do it a little different this morning. We're going to kind of read a passage and talk about it and read a passage and talk about it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we just open all this up. Can we do that? Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that we can have a good time in your presence. Lord, in your presence is the fullness of joy, Scripture says. Lord, we just pray that we'll just be able to experience that as your people. And Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I just pray you just sharpen our minds. Help us to have those kind of ears we've talked about, ears that can hear what you're saying to us. Help us, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. We're going to give it first place. Help us to understand it. Help us to be able to walk it out. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. So we've talked about trouble, right? How do you handle your troubles? And the first thing he said was to count it all joy when you fall into trouble. Then we talked about handling temptation, and blessed is the one who overcomes the temptation. We talked about the royal law and how we treat other people is real important to God. And we talked last Sunday about dynamic faith and not to have a stagnant faith, not to have this hypocritical faith, but to have a dynamic living faith to where we walk out and become the people that Jesus wants us to be. And today we get into this deal about the tongue. So what I need you to do, I need you to reach on one side, reach across your like this right here and grab it and go across, and you're going to have to put it on your seatbelt this morning. All right, because James, this is one of the times he just kind of really comes right at us and hits us right where we live. All right, so let's talk about the tongue. Now, we're going to call it taming the tongue, but here's some other possible titles that we were talking about going through and all that kind of thing. And words have power. We could have used that. We could have used shut your mouth. You know, we could have used bite your lip. Anybody know about that? I got some teeth marks on mine, actually. Bite your tongue. Mama always said that. Bite your tongue. In fact, Mama says that today. You bite your tongue, boy. It kind of says it just like that. Hung by the tongue. We could have called it that. Cuts like a knife. Brian Adams, all my Brian Adams people know about that one, right? Watch your mouth. Did you really say that? I told you so. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's one of my favorites. Word to the wise, I wish I would have not said that. Anybody got that one? Words can move heaven and earth. They certainly can. All right, so let's talk about that. Let's lay some foundation before we get into chapter 3 of James, just from other places in Scripture, mostly the Proverbs right here. James has already talked about the tongue. He's already talked about it already. In James 1:19, remember he said, let everybody be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Say that with me. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, right? We talked about that. God gave you two ears and one mouth because Mama said you should at least listen twice as much as you talk, right? And James kind of tells us that, to be kind of people that takes it in, and we're slow to speak. So he's been giving us some things about the tongue already. And then James 1:26, he says something real pointed. He says, if anyone among you thinks that they are religious, okay, and that religious would be in the best way, that word could be used possible. Okay, we use religious sometimes in a negative way, but this is the idea of like a genuine faith. If anybody thinks that they have a genuine faith and does not bridle his or her tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. All right, so he's already teaching us about the tongue, and he's warning us about some things. He's going to get deeper today. Now, here's another one of my little funnies. I saw this the other day. See this alligator or crocodile, whatever, he's trying to climb the ladder, and he's got his mouth stuck. It says, sometimes you think people are stopping you from getting to the top and forget it's your mouth. Oh, hello. All right. Ain't that the truth? All right. Now, Proverbs teaches us some things about the tongue. And remember, James is a lot like Proverbs. He's pulling a lot of things out of Proverbs, and two sources that we know James is using is Proverbs and the Sermon on the Mount. It's quoted some five or six times, the Sermon on the Mount is in the book of James. Proverbs 18:21 says this in the New King James. Death and life, in fact, read that with me. I want you to read that with me if you can see that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It gives some gravity right there to our words, doesn't it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, the Message Bible kind of says it like this. Now, if you don't know anything about the Message Bible, it's kind of a paraphrase Bible. It's a Bible written for rednecks is what it is. Okay? And I can make a lot of sense out of some of the things the Message Bible says. I use it sometimes as like a commentary sometimes. Listen to what he says. Words kill, words give life. They either poison or fruit, or they are either poison or fruit. You choose. Lots of truth right there now. Lots of truth. So let's get this first idea. This first idea, let's nail this down. Words have power. Let me say it more pointedly. Your words have power. Your words have power on earth, and your words can also have power in heaven. Your words have power. Your words can give life, what we just read in Proverbs 18. They can give life. They can give somebody encouragement. You literally can breathe encouragement. In other words, you can put courage with your words right into somebody. Anybody ever had a really good coach, like a football coach or baseball coach? And man, they just knew how to use their words. Now, some of them need to learn how to use their words, and they just talk all kind of trash to you and all that kind of mess. But ones that are really good, they know how to motivate you, and they get them linebackers and them linemen so fired up they could run through the brick wall. Anybody have a coach like that before? Yeah, that's what I tried to be like that when I was coach. I mean, I had my boys in the dugout, man. They was like, hold me back, coach. I got to get out there. Because you want to be the kind of person that breathes courage into people and helps them see possibilities instead of failures or instead of hesitation. You want to be able to make a wise decision so that they can do what they need to do, right? Kind of courage. Your words can give life, can give encouragement, or can give hope. Your words can bring death. Your words can bring destruction, discouragement, and decay. It's just the truth, isn't it? Words can be creative in nature. Now, think about this. How did God create the world we live in? How did he create it? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a sun. And God said, let there be a moon. And God said, let there be this, the land that the buffalo roam. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? God just spoke these things into existence. God's word is powerful. It's creative. And in fact, when Jesus is teaching us the word, he's speaking things into our hearts that we talked about forgiveness in Sunday school. And if you hear Jesus' words correctly and you hear him talk about forgiveness, the point is not that you just get information, but the point is that teaching of Jesus creates the opportunity for you to become a forgiving person. You hear what I'm talking about? His words have power. When you read the Gospels and hear Jesus, or read the epistles and hear the apostles. You can't say that too fast. You read the epistles and hear the apostles. Their words have power to transform you, to change your heart into a particular kind of person. All right. So God created the world with his words. God creates faith in us with his word. And some of these creative properties have been passed on to us. Now, we don't push that all the way out. Sometimes we push that way too far with our words being creative, that we can kind of create our destiny and that kind of thing. There's some truth, but you can't press it too far because then you take the place of God. You understand that kind of thing? Can't press it too far. But we must know that our words do have some sort of creative power. Words are how we build relationships. Right? How do you know somebody's your friend? Well, that's somebody you can talk to. It's somebody we can exchange words together and we can have a mutual relationship together. Okay. My sister, she got married yesterday. What did they foundation their marriage upon? Well, they made vows with their words to each other, right? Their words created a relationship. You see, it happens that way in business. It happens all over in our relationships. So how do we encourage one another? With our words. How do we teach one another? With our words. Words are super duper important. Now listen to this in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:29. Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So he talks about two different kinds of words that we can literally speak a word that would corrupt somebody. It would pollute their mind. It would pollute their thinking. It would maybe even pollute their character. It would corrupt them. When something corrupts or corrodes, it starts breaking down, doesn't it? And he says, I want you to understand the power of your words, and don't let anything that would tear anybody down come out of your mouth. And you can say amen or oh me. Unfortunately, we've all transgressed that, right? But instead, what is necessary for edification. So what's the word edification? That's a big Bible word, right? We don't use that. You didn't use that word in the sentence this week at all. I can 100% guarantee you. So what is edification? we get our word edifice from it. Okay, edifice is like a structure that you build. So he says, let your words instead build up somebody. Help them become who they need to be. Help them become who Christ created them to be. Let your words be the kind of words that build up people, edify them. And let your words be the kind of words that impart grace to people. Grace. Graciousness. And see, we've experienced God's grace. And experiencing God's grace ought to make us gracious. Doesn't that make sense? Just like experiencing His forgiveness ought to make us a forgiving kind of person, experiencing God's grace should make us gracious. So don't be corrupt in your speech or cause it to have it to cause destruction. Instead, let your words build somebody up. Because see, there's two kinds of people in the world, right? There's the people that you love to see coming. Anybody got somebody like that? When you see them coming, you just can't wait because you know it's about to be fun. It's about to be good. I want to be that kind of person. They say, but there's another kind of person. You get happy when you see them going. Right? Because they're just kind of negative Nate, kind of always down or always bad-mouthing something or always, way down. You know how that works. There's firefighters and there's firelighters. And in the spirit, what we want to be is the kind of people that light the fire of God in somebody. You want to be the kind of person that sets somebody's soul on fire for God, that makes them hungry for the things of God, that makes them experience the love of God in such a way that it just ignites that godly fire in them. I want to be a fire lighter because there's plenty of firefighters. There's plenty of wet blankets that when somebody gets on fire for something or gets going in something good, somebody just throws it on and says, you got to watch out now. You ain't got enough money to do all that. You got to watch out now. I don't know. I saw somebody do that one time and it wasn't good. And you and I have to make a determination. Are we going to be the kind of people that fight the fire? Or are we going to be the kind of people that light the fire? Which one do you want to be? Because your words have power now. They matter. It matters in your marriage. It matters how you raise your kids, how you speak to your kids. And I believe in the Board of Education. You know, I believe in that. I believe you ought to take care of your kids and discipline your kids. In fact, child abuse is when you don't discipline your kids. But even while you discipline your kids, you got to be careful how you speak to them. Right. Got to be careful. Because some of us are still carrying around those wounds. How we were spoken to even little, you know. It matters in your family how you speak. It matters in your business how you speak to your employees. How you speak to your coworkers, how you speak to your friends. Let me tell you something. I coach baseball. It matters how you speak to the umpire. How about that? It matters. And I've had my time and my share with all that. It just matters. Everything matters with your words, right? Now, let's keep building on this. Let's keep building. Words have power, and words are like seeds. It says it time and time in the Gospels, several times, especially in the parable of the seed and the sower, that God's word is his seed. God's word is likened to a seed. Now, you think about what a seed does. A seed is just this little bitty thing, but in it is life. In it is the possibility to grow something really good and big, right? And that's what God's word is. It's like a seed in us. And our words can be like seeds in people too. And here's the truth. You plant seeds, you grow crops, and then you eat the food that comes out of it. That's true. Remember, it said death and life are in the power of the tongue, and blessed is the one who eats the good fruit of it. So your seeds plant crops. Your words plant crops in your business, in your family, in your marriage, in your church, in your community. Your seeds plant crops. That be it good, be it bad, or be it ugly, will produce something that you're going to have to eat later. And I don't know about you, but good eating's a whole lot better than bad eating. Right, so we got to be careful. So will you be glad tomorrow to eat the crop that you're planting today? Because that's how it works. That's how it works with your words. All right? How many of you ready to go already? We just read. That's enough, preacher. I'm hyperventilating now. That's just heat. It is real because it's something hits us right where we live. All right, so let's get into James. We hadn't even got to James yet, but he's going to kind of reiterate some of what I already said. The first couple of verses. My brothers and sisters, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. We know that's true. I believe that stricter judgment is here on earth and also in heaven. For we all stumble in many things. Yes, Lord, we do. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You see that? Here's the thought the Lord gave me. Tongue control is the foundation to self-control. To be able to control what comes out of your mouth is the foundation to be able to control your whole life and your whole flesh, your whole body. Okay? And that's important for us. Having dominion over the words that you say is a sign of maturity. Because, see, children are known by impulsiveness. They're known by outbursts. They're known by tantrums. Anybody ever had a kid? They're just known by all that, right? They're known by just pitching a fit. They're known by using words to manipulate. And yeah, that little cutie thing, they will manipulate the fool out of you, won't they? Just to get their way. Children are known by that. Now, grown folks should be known for knowing when to say something and knowing when not to say something. Grown folks, and I'm learning to be grown folk. I'm still learning that. Anybody still learning that deal? Every now and again, I throw a fit. Anybody? We try not to, but grown folks should be known for their wisdom, not their folly. And that's what James is talking about here. To get control of your tongue. How are we going to do that? All right, let's keep going. Verse 3. He begins to paint some pictures for us. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Okay, so now we've seen words having power and things. Now he talks about direction. See the bridle? The horse bridle, that's to steer left, right, giddy up, slow down, all that kind of stuff. All you horse people. I got any horse people in here? Y'all, I know there are. I got two horse people back there. I got horse people right here. Words have the power to direct. Like that rudder on that ship. It's small, but they have the power to direct. Direct your life. You know, you can talk yourself into something, can't you? Just the words that kind of echo in your cranium, that kind of thing. You can talk yourself into something. Or your words have the power to direct somebody else's life, especially if you have any kind of authority and influence as a parent or a marriage or a business or something of that nature, a coach or something, or a teacher. Your words have the power. In fact, that's what they're to be used for, right? For the good, to direct them in the right way, the way that they should go. But unfortunately, we can also direct them in the wrong way. We're not careful. So direction. Words have the power to direct. Now listen to what Jesus has this encounter. He has this encounter with this military guy. He's a centurion soldier, a Roman soldier. Okay. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. A centurion had to be a man over 100 soldiers. Okay. So he said this, Lord, talking to Jesus, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now listen to the revelation this man brings to the table. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What did he say to Jesus? You don't have to come. I know it's complicated. I'm a Gentile. I get all that. And you're a wise teacher. It's going to be complicated. Don't worry about coming. I'm not even worthy for you to come underneath the roof of my house anyway. But Jesus, if you will just, what? If you'll just speak the word, something will happen. Okay? He says this, for I also am a man under authority. and having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does this. The direction thing. He uses his words to direct people in the right way they should go. And he says, I just know, Jesus, if you say the right word, it'll take care of the situation. And when Jesus heard what this man said, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And that same hour, Jesus spoke the word, and that person, the servant, was healed. Your words have power now. Jesus' words have power. He sent that word, and that word created healing in that man's body. That's amazing, isn't it? Now listen to what Jesus said about us, disciples, Mark 11, 22 and 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now think about that now. It's always appropriate to talk to God about your problems. It's always mountains. It's always appropriate to talk to God about your mountains. But what Jesus says something about your words, if they're spoken in faith now, that your words can have power to move a mountain. Now, a mountain might be an obstacle that stands in the way of what you're supposed to do according to the will of God. I don't know. It's something in the way, right? It's something in the way. And Jesus himself says right here to speak to that mountain. Who's doing the speaking? Now, see, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we want God to do. We want God to, we talk to God. We pray. And we say, God, will you please move this mountain? And that's always appropriate to ask him that. But there comes a time in somebody's life at times where Jesus will say, don't talk to me. Talk to that mountain. You hear what I'm saying to you? That a person of faith, a person who believes, a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit can literally speak to that obstacle that's in the way, and God will empower your words. It's always a God thing. It's not a me thing or you thing or just a word thing. It's a God thing. But God can use your words to move that mountain of disappointment, that mountain of distress, that mountain of disease. God said, speak to that mountain. When I was reading that, the Holy Spirit said, you know why no more mountains are being moved? Because everybody's talking to me and nobody's talking to the mountain. You see what I'm talking about? It's not like magic. It's just supernatural God power stuff. How many times are you going to speak to it? Well, until it's gone. Keep speaking. You hear that? What I'm talking about? Words. Your words. Spoken in faith. So your words can have power to move things. Now this is not you commanding your own destiny and all that kind of thing. God's still in control. But I can't get past what Jesus is saying now. I can't get past that. Maybe. You're waiting on God. Maybe God's waiting on you. All right, can we keep going here? Everybody still good? Nobody running out yet. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue. Here's what you ought to do one time. You ought to read this section of 1 through 12. You ought to read it holding your tongue one time. Even so, the tongue is a little member. You ought to do that one time. Just bring that thing right in. Even, never mind. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Here we go. Direction. I guess another word. Destruction. Words have the power to destroy. You know that already. can tear a person down, can't they? Words can destroy somebody's life, can destroy somebody's reputation, can destroy somebody's future. It's like a fire. See, word might just be the spark. And what happens is it ignites something in that other person. Have you ever had a word like that somebody said to you? And this is a phrase my daddy uses. He'll stomp his foot sometimes. He'll go, "That just burns me up." Anybody ever heard that? Well, what happened? He heard a word and it burned in his soul. It set him on fire. You ever had somebody do that? All the married folks said, "Yes, I've seen that before." It can just light somebody's fire, can't it? So this idea of destruction, so we got to respect where we're at. Now look at how he describes the tongue. He says it's little, but it's powerful. It's little, but it's powerful. And it's like a fire. It can contain a world of iniquity. What's iniquity? Well, that's another word for sin, isn't it? It can just contain a world of sin in it, in itself. And the way you speak can defile your whole life or someone else's life. You see what I'm talking about? Might be little, but it's powerful. And in most people's lives, unfortunately, even Christian folks, the tongue, their tongue, is owned by hell. I've been pastoring a long time. Long time. I don't even remember how long now. It's 30 years better. I done been in some stuff. I done seen hell come to church before. Anybody ever seen that? And it says right here that many people's tongues are literally inspired or set on fire by hell. And what do you think the outcome of that's going to be? What's going to burn everything down? See, the fire of God burns and it judges everything and it purifies and makes everything better. The fire that comes from hell that he's talking about, it literally will destroy everything in its path. And it's a scorch earth policy. It wants to destroy lives. It wants to destroy marriages. It wants to destroy children, businesses, churches, communities. We see it going on right now in our world. And unfortunately, the enemy has influence and control through many, many people just to burn somebody down to the ground. And the next. Here's the thought. Instead of a tongue that's set on fire by hell, you and I need to possess a tongue that's set on fire by heaven. That's a different fire, isn't it? That's a whole different fire. And all the imagery we see on the day of Pentecost, we talked about that Wednesday night. We're going to talk about it again next time, this coming Wednesday. That's what happened in the book of Acts. Do you see that whole flame of fire that set on each one of them? What happened to those people? What happened? I mean, there were people that had been touched by the fire of hell, for sure. But what happened on that given moment is that they were set on fire by another reality, the reality of heaven. And it literally, that fire is still burning today all across the globe. That fire absolutely started a world revolution that changed many lives. I'm here today because that fire started that day. And I'm here today because somebody was set on fire by heaven. And what's interesting about that fire is that it always produces a speech. It says that fire set on them and they spoke. They spoke in all these other languages. And we're going to see, as it happens in different places in the book of Acts on Wednesday night, that fire came on different people. And some of them would speak in the spiritual language. And some of them would speak the wonderful works of God. And somebody would get up and that fire would hit them. They'd preach a sermon that would cause 5,000 people to get saved just like that. See, that's what happens when heaven comes. That's a whole different fire, isn't it? Now, that kind of happened on the community and global level. But what would happen in your home if your tongue got set on fire by heaven? And you begin to talk a little bit different. Because, beloved, this is what happens to a person when they're filled with the Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit of God on the inside, and what comes out of them is something different. All right, we're coming to a close here. He says, for every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. You've been to the circus, you know all that, right? You've seen the lion tamer get the lion to jump through a hoop, get this big elephant to bow and kneel, and some little lady climbs up on the back of it and just takes that thing wherever it wants to. You've seen that kind of thing, right? That's what he's talking about. He said, but no man, there's another beast he's got in mind right here. It's not the lion, it's not the tiger, it's not the bear, oh man, all that stuff. He said, there's another beast. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. All right, so are you tracking with me on all this? All right, we got direction, destruction, we got death here. And are you picking up the pictures? Because when the Bible gives me a picture, I like to see it. I kind of take time in my meditation, and I want to see that picture. I want to enter into it. Now, these are the pictures. It's like a bridle. You got that picture? It's like a rudder. You got that one? It's like a fire. We just saw that one. And he's going to give us another. The tongue can be like deadly poison. So words have the power to do all this other stuff. It also has the power to bring death. And when does it bring death? When it's unruly. When it's untamed. And when it's just wild. And Daddy said, wild as a buck deer. When it's just wild. Unruly, meaning nobody can quite get that thing under control. Not even you. You can't control your own tongue, you know that? You're going to need some help on that deal. You're going to need some help. All right, so we can't have this tongue out of control, because it's going to do a lot of damage. All right, this deadly poison can bring death to people. The words that you speak can bring death to people. We've talked about that. Power of life and death are in the tongue. Proverbs 18. It can bring death to people. Now, and some poisons will kill you instantly. I mean, some folks will say something to you and boom, the relationship is over. It is, we're done. Some poisons kill like quickly. But some poisons, they just make you a little bit sick, and then a little bit sick, a little bit sick, a little bit sick, a little bit sick, sicker, 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 and it takes a while. Anybody know about that kind? And it just kind of sits in on you, and it kind of eats you away. So some poisons can do it quickly, some do it slowly. And James says this, with that same tongue, all that reality of the power of it. With that tongue, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. And I want to say, James, I've been living a long time, but they are so. Isn't that the truth? Does a spring send forth fresh water? You got another image right here. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? No. Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh, unless you go to Louisiana. And that water produces stuff that only a Cajun will eat. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, I'll let brackish water. So he asked us some stuff about the blessing and cursing. The blessing and cursing that comes into your life. Your words have the power to bless God. Your words have the power to bless people. You've all been recipients of that blessing from somebody else. But they also have the power to curse people. So to bless people means to bring good into their lives. To curse people means to bring something other than good into their lives. Let's just stay with that simple definition. And what James is after right here is the mixture, isn't he? He's after all of us because we all kind of got a little bit too much mixture. We all got that hypocrisy problem if we're not careful. We all got the contradictions that are in us, the inconsistencies that are in us that we even we hate at times. And that's what James is coming after. He's saying, hey, I want you to be the kind of people who are not just throwing out all kinds of curses and blessings all over the place, and it just depends on what strikes you when. He said, I want you to be the kind of person that doesn't have this mixture in them, but you're a person that just gives blessing to God and to people with your words. You say, Pastor, what if I can't bless them with my words? Then keep your mouth shut. Because Mama said, got to quote Mama here again, if you ain't got nothing nice to say to somebody, there you go. Your mama said it too, right? That one got some mileage on it, didn't it? He's after this mixture, this good and bad coming out of the same person. And what I have to do right here when I see this, I say, oh me. Help me, Jesus. For real. Because I can see myself right there. I wish everything that come out of me were wonderful little sermons. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's, you know, spouting out. And I say, Lord, help me deal with that mixture. So that I'm not an author of confusion, but I become a blessing of people. You see. So how do you fix this? How do I fix this? Jesus said something in Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say that with me. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say it again. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what Jesus is telling us, if you got mouth trouble, it's because you got heart trouble. And who can fix the heart? I got to go to my heart surgeon for that, don't I? I got to go to Dr. Jesus, the great physician, for that, to fix my soul, to help me. So something else gets in there, so that something else comes out of here. Because it's only God that can help us tame the tongue. It's only God. Well, let's wrap it up with this. There's a prayer right here in Psalm 19:4. Let me show you this. It's a little elementary, but I'd normally give this to the kids, but we need it too. Y'all know what that is, right? We do know that this wasn't invented in the South, because if it was invented in the South, it'd be called a teeth brush. But anyway, it's called a toothbrush, right? I'm sorry, I'm Southern too. So this is something I do. I got these little rituals I do, mostly on a daily. I got trouble with this thing all the time. I live and die by this thing. Hopefully you can get some good out of this thing, this mouth I got. I hope so. But I also know that it's not all right all the time. And it don't take but a half second for me to get off track. So I got these little rituals I go through. When I'm brushing my teeth, on the daily, I ask God to help me. I mean, it seems silly, but it's something that really focuses and helps me out. This scripture right here is one of the things I quote. I've got other ones I mix in, but I quote this one a lot. When I'm brushing my teeth, I quote this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be heard and acceptable in your sight, O Lord." I'm serious; it comes out about like that. As I be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Help me with that. Then I'm going to clean my ears. I know this sounds a little crude, but we all do it. I hope we do. Cleaning my ears. Lord, give me ears to hear you today. Give me ears to hear what I need to hear. I'm bathing myself in the shower. Lord, I'm going to clean the outside. Will you please clean the inside again today? I just feel like something just may not be altogether right. You see, I got these little rituals. We're just dealing with the mouth thing. Won't you try this with me? Try it with me. It'll change. It'll change you now. Because what I'm going to him, I'm asking him to help me with this so that this doesn't get unruly and wild. It's got a tendency, you know. So can we just all over the place, can we just turn this into just a prayer meeting before we go? And can you pray this with me? Over yourself? I'm going to kind of cut off my mic and just kind of pray again. But can we pray this? Yeah, there's not a person in here that this sermon from James doesn't hit us right here. I 100% guarantee you. You're not alone in this battle. We all got it. So can we just take some time to deal with Jesus? Maybe some forgiveness needs to be worked in. Some healing. Maybe the quenching of that fiery dart that's sitting in your heart from some words somebody else spoke to you. Maybe that needs to be healed. He can heal it now. Let's pray. Can we do that? If you want to come to the altar, you're more than welcome to come to the altar.